seated.
And the church said, Amen. And the preacher said, you guys sound good today like you do every week. Thank you so much for being here with us today. We are really thankful that you, if you're visiting with us, we're thankful that you've made this your pick for today. And we pray that you pick us again and again. A couple of announcements before we get into the message. I'll need my stand as well in that process. But also, Amber Mills and her son, Talon, where are they at? Back here somewhere. Would you please stand? They're placing their membership with us. We want to thank them. You can be seated. Very good. It's good to see you. Fine-looking young man there. I think he's a fifth grader and going to do great things for the Lord, I'm sure. But thank you so much. Also, I have a Bible to give out today. Caitlin Patterson, would you come up here? Little Caitlin. She's about to turn 10, and she is about my size. I think that's perfect. Amen. Hey. God is good. Yes, it's right. And I was privileged to baptize her a few weeks ago. We're so thankful. And we wanted to get you this Bible and this certificate. And with a smile like that in your heart, always, God's going to just bless you and bless you. I'm so thankful for you. And thank you for being such a great example at such an early age, too, okay? So here's the Bible and certificate, and we're going to pray with Caitlin. Father God, thank you so much that little hearts are open to receive the sweet story of Jesus, the simple story that we all fall short, but you never have, and you gave your son just for us. Thank you so much, and thank you for little Caitlin. Bless her always, Father, as she grows in you, may she be strong and mighty. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have another round of applause. There you go. Man, it's good to be here today. I love the fall of the year. It's probably my favorite time of the year until winter gets here, and then I love it, and so on and so forth. But we loved fall so much that Don and I, if we had a daughter, we were going to name her Autumn. But she was born in the spring, so we still named her Autumn. That's how much we love Autumn, and I just love this time of the year. God has blessed us with good rains and overseeing all of that, and we're just so, so blessed. Adrian Rogers is the one that said, and I love reading his materials and things. He's gone now, but I like to read many of his materials and stuff. He has really good thought patterns that I like. But he said, if you get up early in the morning and look to the west, there's something that you will never, ever see. And that is the sunrise. And you say, well, okay, everybody knew that. But why is the case? Well, the why is because you are looking in the wrong direction. And it's so true in our lives spiritually. I would simply say this morning as we get started with this message of growing spiritually as well and staying on that theme for the year in our lives is that how you position yourself in life makes all the difference in the world. How it is that you position yourself in life makes all the difference in the world. And we try to help our children see the direction in which they're going. And we try to set them on a particular path. And we do that because we love them and care for them. And God does the same for us, spiritually speaking. He gives us His Word, and He tries to position us in a way in which we will be blessed in our lives if we follow Him, and He will do that. You can set yourself up for failure or success in how you position yourself in life. And it goes the same for your spiritual life as well. You oftentimes see people become spiritually weak and sick, if you will, we call it. And oftentimes we fall to that is because of the position in which we've put ourselves in. It goes the same for, as I said, the spiritual life. And one of the fastest ways that I know that you can set yourself up for failure spiritually is to position yourself in the direction of self-promotion. It's one that says, look at me, see what I've accomplished. And we have to be on guard against that in our lives. It is because a person can become so full of self that they miss God. They miss other people and their input and all those different things. It is that we're doing, by doing so, what we're doing is we've looked in the wrong direction. There's an old country song years ago, and I think it's by Johnny Lee, that simply says, looking for love in all the wrong places. Now, if you know that song, you're old. But nonetheless, in that process, it's looking for something in all the wrong places. Now, I don't know about you, but throughout my life, I can look back, and I tell you for sure that I've looked in some wrong places. Anybody but me today? Okay, we got eight of us. The rest of you, you're still looking. No, I'm just saying that. That's the case. Spiritually speaking, you can be looking in the wrong place as well. There's no doubt. Adrian Rogers goes on to say in some of his writings, he talks about the fact of, really it boils down to this. Our walk with God starts with the word follow, and it ends with the word go. Now, that sounds quite simple, but it's really true, is it not? Jesus went up to the tax collector's table. This was Matthew. Go ahead and put that one up. And there he stands, and he just basically tells Matthew, follow me. That's exactly how you became a Christian, isn't it? That somewhere in your spirit, at some time in your life, whether it was at youth camp or whether maybe it was a revival or maybe it was a setting such as this or perhaps it was a song on the radio, but something in your heart that you felt, your spirit churned enough that you heard the call of God in your life, follow me. Matthew got up and followed him, and we know his story. It's the same for you and me, those of us that have claimed Jesus as our Christ and our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our King. It is that we want to follow him. We heard it in our spirits and we follow. And then as we read, as he closes things out in Matthew chapter 28, this is just before Jesus goes to heaven, and so we would think it would be very important to listen to what he has to say. And so he tells us what we are to be about. And he tells us we are to go. The simple mission of God is to go. And here he says, go into all and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that God would be with us always, and he is. So the question in just those two verses would be simple is, have you started your life out with God? Have you started that relationship, that walk with God? If you haven't, we pray that today somehow the message or the word or the singing, the beautiful singing this morning will touch your heart in such a way that you will want to just say in your spirit, I'm ready to follow Christ. The invitation's always open. And you're not here by accident and you're not here by that. You're here by design. And God purposed for you to be here today to hear that God loves you. And he loved you so much that he gave his son for you. And he doesn't want you to be lost. But there's a penalty that has to be paid for the sin of man. And the penalty is death. It is called separation from God. It is a place prepared. And it's a place called hell. It's punishment. And it's eternal. But in the regards to that, God says, I give my son so that if you put your faith in him and follow him, you can have everlasting life in heaven, eternal. What a wonderful thing. I believe in my heart that someone needed to hear that today. And I just pray that you'll listen to your spirit speak to you today. But are you determined to follow? As Christians, those of us that have already done that and already accepted Christ and already have been baptized and all of that in our lives, and yet are you really ready to follow Christ? How are you doing with that in your life? Are you stronger now than you were a month ago? Are you stronger now than you were at the beginning of the year talking about spiritual growth? Our prayer is that that is the case. But oftentimes our lives is like waves. It goes up and down. Some days I feel real strong and some days I feel a little bit weaker than others. Someone said availability is the greatest ability you have. And isn't that true? To just be available to God. Just say, God, here I am. What is it that you want from my life? To be available. Our teachers ask that of our students and the coaches ask that of their players. They're just saying, are you available to take in what I'm about to impart into your life? And if you pay attention in that process, I will shape you and it'll help mold you into what it is that you are to be in life. And in that process, it's something that's beautiful. Being available is the greatest ability in your life. You have to be available to grow spiritually. It means that you have to be available to listen to God. It means that you have to be available to talk with God, to read his word and what his message is to you. He's written you a book. He's written you a letter. And in that letter, there's so much. There's richness every day. It's new every morning, David said. Are you available to listen to him? Or are you in a rush to get somewhere? A rush to get here and a rush to get there, a rush to get this done and a rush to get that done. Our lives are built upon rushing around. You ever see a bunch of ants wandering around? It doesn't seem like they know where they're going. I wonder if God might look at us sometimes and wonder, where are they going? We're just a bunch of ants. We're just moving around. Well, I'm going here. I got to go get this done. Anybody busy in life, raise your hand. Anybody not busy in your life? See what I'm saying? We're all going someplace, but we have to be available if we want to grow spiritually. And that's really what God wants for our lives. Are you available to go where God is sending you? Are you available to be what God has called you to be? Are you available to give what God has called you to give? Are you available to surrender to what God has called you to surrender to? You have to make yourself available to God for Him to stretch you, to grow you in your spiritual walk. Satan trembles when he hears God's people say, God's children simply say, yes, Lord, I hear you. And yes, Lord, I will do as you've called me to do. You see, sometimes throughout the day, God places on our hearts something to do, but oftentimes we don't really listen or we ignore it. God loves to speak to us throughout the day. And maybe it's just buying that soldier that's out there fighting for our country and doing such a wonderful. Maybe it's just the cup of coffee that he's buying at the 7-Eleven. That you say, let me buy that for you today. Is God speaking? Yeah, I'm busy. I ain't got time for that. But think about him and his family. Maybe he's away from his family. The sacrifice that he's giving just to serve you. Maybe God speaks to your spirit in some way to do that. Or to bless the teacher that your children are with every day by maybe just a note that simply says, I want you to know that I pray for you every day and I entrust my child to you in your classroom. Something that's on your heart that God gives you to do. So how do I, the minister, motivate you to stay focused on Jesus and do what God has called you to do? Because you see, one of the responsibilities as a minister is to motivate. It is to actually motivate you. Oh, there's more to it than that, but it is actually to stir within you something, to pull a scripture out that will apply to your life, that makes sense to you, that causes you to be motivated when you leave this building, because the most important sign that you see in this building is the exit sign. It means that now I get to go into the world with something. And it's something that that person has said today, something that they've led me into, the scripture that was read or the song that was sung. Behold our God. And those things encourage me to get out and do what God has called me to do today. It's to motivate. Now, I believe one of the ways that you can accomplish what you are set out to do and what God has called you to do is to keep your mind open to change. Now, when I use the word change, it scares a lot of people, and I understand that. But times change. Styles change. I'm not wearing bell bottoms today like I did in the 70s when Donna fell in love with me. There's a reason why styles change, and there's some styles out there today that I can't wait for them to change. Give me an amen. Oh, yeah. I mean, how hard it is to buy a belt, right? But anyway, nonetheless. But in that process, things do change. Methods change as well. Years ago, we never sang off the wall, but we do now. Methods change. Methods aren't bad. Methods do change, and time changes as well. However, if your newfound method changes or directs itself to change God's word, beware. Because God's word never changes. You see, our world wants you to know that. They want to get you caught up into change. They want to get you caught up into change, not because of the method. They don't like the word. Because they read the word that it says something that they're doing that they shouldn't be doing, or something they want to do but doesn't give them permission to do. And therefore, what they do is they say, let's change the method, which really means let's change the word. And therefore, we can all sit in our Sunday best and feel really good about us living in sin. But it's no longer sin because we changed the word and all sounds good and everybody's going to heaven. It happens. Oftentimes, people think that they understand something, but yet they don't understand. Did you think that you ever there in your life where you thought you understood something and you realized later on, I never understood that? Huh? We misunderstand each other by even communication, how we communicate. Oftentimes, people would say, hey, you said such and such. Oh, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Well, let's listen to tape. Nope. Well, you didn't. Or maybe I did, and I'm sorry. Whatever it might be. Might be a Christmas thing. I don't know. But nonetheless, it reminds me of the story of the old man and the old woman. And I say that because I'm up there, but they're great-grandparents, let's say, and they're on their porch, and I picture this porch one of those wraparound porches on a house. You know what I'm talking about? That's what Don and I want for our retirement, by the way. So wraparound porch, because I want a swing set on every corner of that porch or a rocking chair. If sun changes on one side, I can go to the other side for a while, read a good book, God's Word, and look at His creation and just enjoy. I really long for that day. I really do. I might be 90, but I'm going to get there. So in that process, though, get back to the story. The gentleman, he's sitting in his rocking chair over in the corner, and he looks way across the porch. And there's his wife of many, many, many years now, 50-plus years. And he's looking at her, and he's thinking, boy, God has been so good to us. Look at them grandbabies out there, great-grandbabies now playing. She's having so much fun. Look at her hair. You know, it used to be all this beautiful dark hair. Now it's gray, but man, what a woman. I've been blessed. She finally turns toward him, and he looks at her, and he mouths the words, I love you. She goes, huh? I love you. Can't hear you. I love you. And she yells back and says, well, yo, coot, I can't stand you either. We misunderstand sometimes what people are trying to get across. And it happens not only in our lives there, it happens spiritually as well. We don't quite get it. It doesn't quite sink in the way that we would hope that it does in our lives. And I hope that the message gets across. And I hope you're not there going, yo, coot, I can't stand you either. Oswald Sanders says, eyes that look are common. Eyes that see are rare. Oh, how true. You see, it's so difficult to learn what you think you know. Did you hear that one? It's difficult to learn what you think you know because we all think we know. Isn't that right? If I were brave enough to bring up a political question right now, I guarantee you there would be 38 different views, and everybody would think, I know what the problem is. That's truth. Nobody wants to agree to it. Don't say nothing. Don't be nothing. But listen to what the scripture says about that. It says, the way of a fool seems right to him. There's sometimes we just think that we know what is right, and we're sold on it. We don't quite understand it or get the whole picture. So if you pull one thing out, you can look at it and go, whoa. But watch what it says. But a wise man listens to advice. The only thing that I would add to that, and there's scriptures that back that up, is be careful of who gives you the advice. Because if you're only around people that will give you the advice of what your thought pattern is, you can be in real trouble before you know it. And then you might become that word in that scripture. It goes on to say there in Proverbs 14, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man. It just seems right. Isn't this right? Doesn't this make sense to you, we say? But at the end, it leads to death. You see, that's where the religious people of the world are, those that are in a different realm of Christianity. You see, Christian religion separates itself from all other religions. All other religions want you to accept their religion. The problem with that is this: without Jesus in the picture, it leads to death. But with Jesus in the picture, Scripture is very clear. It says, even though you die, yet shall you live. I want to live forever. Give me an amen. Amen. All right. Did you ever have that great idea? This happens to you when you're in your 20s. Something magical changes from your 20s to your 30s. 29, you come up with an idea, and people are like, huh? And 30, all of a sudden, did you get wise overnight or something? But listen to this. You have this great idea, and when you present it, nothing happens. Why is that the case? Well, someone says, well, I'll tell you why. They're rude to me, and they don't want to hear anything that I have to say. Well, that might be the truth, but it also may be a check the attitude, buddy. Right? Here's the reason for that. It's because it fell on the hearts of who either had something else in mind or who wasn't in a receiving mode at the time. All you teachers know that. Isn't that true? You got to pay attention. Pay attention. What are you doing? You're trying to get your student. Hey, let's get focused. Coming back from recess or whatever the case with you elementary student teachers out there, you know that. You got to, whoa, let's get refocused here. They're not paying attention, and there's a reason for that. And people do that in their spiritual lives as well. They're not paying attention because they have something else in mind, or they're not in a receiving mode. And when you are a presenter, such as myself, a teacher, a coach, or whoever, a motivational speaker, whoever that might be that you like, you got to realize that when you talk to a group of people, any group of people of any size, it can be just one, in fact, but there are some of those, at least a segment of those, that are going to not listen to what you have to say. They're not going to listen because of their minds are on something else. Football game, eating, bills, annoying husband, whatever it happens to be, it can pull you off in a distance real quick. And so in that process, it happens. So as a presenter, you have to realize that you're not going to capture everybody in your audience. Because it can be that I can leave or I can finish and I can go in the foyer and someone come out and say, man, you hit me hard today with that scripture. Or you, that it just was really like you were talking just to me. Another person on the way home tells me, I didn't understand a word that guy had to say. So which is right? They're both right. But one wasn't in a receiving mode and one happened to be in that process. The Pharisees didn't quite get it either in Scripture. Now, the Pharisees are often talked about in Scripture because we pick on them a little bit, that they were the religious people of the time. But not all of them didn't get it. Some of them actually got it. But a lot of times they didn't get it because why? They were in this mindset because they didn't open their spirit to receive. You see, they were the ones that were they're the ones that had gone to school. They were the ones that had prepared. They were the ones that were doing what they were doing, and they were presenting the law. We know it. You be quiet. Remember the story in the beginning? Now watch. So Jesus comes along, and when Jesus comes, he presents the gospel. He brings in his self as the sacrifice for all mankind, but he brings in and introduces a wonderful thing called grace, which reaches me, not only the Jewish nation, but you and I, the Gentiles. Praise God. Give me an amen. But in Matthew chapter 23, he goes through and it's listed as the seven woes. And Jesus lowers the boom on the religious people that thought they had it all figured out, but their minds were not ready to receive because they thought they had it all figured out. And they wanted to keep their power and prestige and perhaps a lot of money. Well, in this, he comes back and he lowers the boom on them and he gives them these harsh words from Jesus. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and you Pharisees. You tell me in that crowd that people didn't perk up? And it wasn't like, whoa, let me tell you, you guys are doing a great job. He says, you hypocrites. And then he tells them why they are hypocrites. He said, you look good on the outside, but inside you're full of these dead men bones. Or you're not doing what I have called you to do, what God wants you to do in that process. My point in that is this: simply we have to be open to receive from God. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8 that they have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. And it wasn't that they didn't have eyes and ears. It was that they weren't open to receive from God. Are you open to receive from God today, His love for your life? Listen to Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will eat with that person and they with me. You see, the truth is Jesus wants to be with you. But you are the one that allows that to take place or not. You are the one that makes the decision whether or not Jesus comes in. Now, some would simply say, well, that's all about salvation. Well, I beg to differ, but I would say this: it includes salvation, I would agree. But Christ longs to have a personal relationship with his children, just like you do with your children, parents. He longs to have a personal relationship with you. And here he is saying to me, I make a lot of daily house calls. Why won't you open the door? I'm knocking. You say, well, I've already done that, Harley. I've already done that, and I ask daily in my prayers, and I ask him to guide me and to teach me and to tell me and all those things, and I hear from him every day in my spirit. Great. This is great. You're on a path. That's good. But watch this. When you receive from Christ, when you receive from him, whatever it is for that call of the day in your life, because I believe it's an every day is a new day. And I believe God has a call on you today, and if you get here tomorrow, he'll have a call on your life tomorrow as well. Meaning the purpose for your life. There's a reason why God woke you up this morning. So in that, what am I saying there? When he does that and he encourages you in your spirit, don't complain about it. It's huge. Why do I say that? There's a reason for everything that God allows in your life, whether you understand it and I understand it at all. There's a reason for it. Don't complain about it. Complaining doesn't get you anywhere in that process. Now, you see, we often receive instructions. We receive instructions from who? Our boss, our mate, our parents, our teacher, whoever it might be, or even God himself. And we really don't want to do it. We really don't. We just say, I really don't want. If you would have given me an assignment like a missionary in Hawaii, I would have said yes. I don't want to do this one. Has God given any of you an assignment lately and you've just refused it? Because I don't want to do it. Because see, it's your choice every day whether you do it or not. So in that, you think, well, oh, we tell them, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, that's what we say. Teachers, is this not true? Your students say, now listen, boys and girls, when you go home today, make sure you do your homework. Make sure you read chapter 8. You come back to school tomorrow, and what happens? You simply say, boys and girls, turn in your homework. And little Johnny and little Freddie and little Susie and little Harley doesn't do their homework. But they told you on the way out of the door, what'd they tell you? Yes, ma'am, I'll get it. I'm going to get it done. So, am I telling the truth? That's truth, isn't it? Sure it is. And you wish it was all that, hey, I turned it in earlier, all this happened, but that's the way life is. So we say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, but we don't follow through with it. We even say, yes, God, but we don't follow through with it. Someone said, don't pray for rain if you're going to complain about the mud. Make sense? Yeah. I got mud all over my new shoes, oh, Lordy. That's true, isn't it? Come on. All right, I'll shut up in just a minute. Probably not, but here we go. Opportunities, what I want to share with you now is opportunities will come your way, whoever you are in the kingdom of God. Doesn't matter if you're 10 years old or you're just older. Opportunities will come. But if you're not set up to receive those from God and you don't know how to deal with those from God, you'll be in trouble. One of the biggest challenges, listen to this, one of the biggest challenges that you will face in your spiritual walk is doing what you know that you are supposed to do. We all do things wrong, but there's many, many times in our lives we know we're supposed to do it, but we just don't. Anybody but me. It's true. Oftentimes, again, we hear from God and we don't do what he tells us to do because we don't want to, so we complain about it. Quick story on that one. Naaman, 2 Kings chapter 5. It's a heck of a story. You need to read it. He was a commander in the army or whatever at the time, and he has a problem. He has a disease, a skin disease called leprosy. He hears of a prophet named Elisha. Remember we've been talking about Elijah and Elisha? Here's one of Elisha's 16 miracles that was performed. And here in this process, so he hears that this prophet could help him out. And so sure enough, they load up everything they have and they go over to the house, and Elisha just sends the word out. You can read the story for yourself. And he sends the word out. In fact, what he does, he sends the instructions out to Naaman to receive what he wanted. Catch that. Because what he wanted was a cure from his leprosy. And so Elijah sends him the cure, the instructions, how to receive that in his life. But all he could do was complain about it. That's all he could do. You see, he said he wanted a cure, but he was unwilling to receive and follow through with his part. Those of you that have never received Christ, listen closely. This is just an honest, straightforward question. Do you plan someday to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? He holds salvation for you this very moment. The prescription for you to get to heaven has already been given to you. Just like it was for Naaman. So someone comes back in the picture, one of his lower ranks, maybe a PFC or something, tells him and he says, hey, listen, boss. Sir, you need to be reminded that you have the prescription. All you have to do is take the medicine. What happens then? At this time, he is in a receiving mode. He's in a receiving mode. And he quit complaining. He did what he was told to do, and he was cured. You see it? It can be that simple for your life, accepting Jesus Christ and having heaven as your home someday. Give me an amen. Almost finished. John Mason said these words, "The Christian on his knees sees more than the world on its tiptoes." It's one of my favorite quotes. The Christian sees more on his knees than the world on its tiptoes. And we do. Too often we are looking for something in the wrong place. It's the way we are as people. Reminds me of the guy that lost a coin at night. And he's under the street lamp. And he's just looking everywhere for this coin. A man comes along and says, "Excuse me, sir, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm looking for a coin. I lost a coin." He said, "I'll be glad to help you there." He said, "Where was the last place you saw that coin?" He said, "Across the street." He said, "Well, why are you looking under the street lamp?" He said, "The lighting's a whole lot better right here." That's what we do sometimes. Here it is. We're standing right here, looking in the wrong places. They have eyes, but they cannot see. You say, I know what I'm looking at. And this is truth, because I will counsel with people. I know that, Harley, I know that. But I want to tell you, I have the problem. You just don't understand the problem. The problem is. Your focus on your problem grows your problem. When you see your problem, turn your eyes on Jesus. God has called us to do that. Get your eyes off your problem and get your eyes on the solution, because God always holds the solution. Always. Not sometimes. Always. We're looking for it tomorrow when God says it's here today. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Don't have time to go through all that. Love to. Spend some time there. Is it possible, as we close, is it possible that you have forgotten or just haven't taken the time to look at your spiritual life lately? Let's get real here. You know, I've come to believe, and I don't want to be misunderstood here at all, but I've come to believe this with all my heart, that we are in a time in our history that we evaluate everything and everybody except our spiritual selves. And I think that's one reason why our world is in the mess that it's in. Everyone wants to evaluate everyone else, but never themselves. I think God wants to evaluate ourselves this morning. If you would pause for a moment and clear your mind and just think of you and your relationship with God. You may be saying, "How do I do that, Harley? I've been so long gone. I've been so long in this rut, in my life. My good friend, Marvin Phillips, that's now gone to be with the Lord, used to say, you know what a rut is? A rut is no more than a grave with the two ends knocked out of it. And some of you feel that way. And someone that hears this in the future, they will say, yes, that's where I'm at. Let's go right to the heart of the matter, your heart. You may not be able to kneel right now, I understand that. But in your heart, in your mind, you can do that. Picture yourself kneeling before God. Brooks Atkinson said it this way, kneeling is the proper posture for putting seed into the ground. Some of us need to plant some seed. And God will make it grow. I want you to do me a favor this morning. This is a little different for us, but not for some. I want you to just bow your heads and I want you to close your eyes. I know someone said, I'm not doing it. You don't have to. I'm not going to make you. Couldn't. But out of respect, could you just close your eyes? And I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And I'm going to lead that prayer. And I'm going to pray a little bit. And I'm going to just pause. You fill in the blank. You talk to God. Just between you and Him. Close your eyes. Bow your head. Father God, here I am, just me, just you. Lord, more than anything in my heart, I want to serve you and I want to be right with you. Lord, I know too often I haven't been right with you and it's my fault and I am sorry. Please forgive me. Father, I want to go where you want me to go. I want to be what you want me to be. Open my heart, God. Open my eyes. Help me to be available to your call. Help me to face in the right direction, which is to see Jesus always first. Help me to hear you knock at the door and give me the courage to open it often. Help me to do what I should do, even in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. You come, let's sing together.